KFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento,
ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader.
Always live on the Odyssey app.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, man, the vibes are up. The vibes are so up. The Kings beat the hell out of the Mavs last night. 122-98. We're going to talk about it.
That's right.
That's the half game back of the number 6 seed, Kings. We're so back. They've never been more back.
They're climbing, Kyle.
They're just, you know what? We're going to get this out of the way right now.
Right now.
That's James. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube's the sponsor. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. We're the insiders. We're hanging out with you till noon. Radio people, 1320 AM. Appreciate you. People on the free Odyssey app. Definitely appreciate you. If you don't have the free Odyssey app, fix your life. Download that. Search ESPN 1320. Favorite it. And that way you can listen to us anywhere in the world. I shouldn't say anywhere in the world. I don't know if there's like geo blocking from some places, but for anywhere in the United States, Okay. Surely. If you're listening on the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show podcast feed, appreciate you. Hope the future's going okay. And everybody, of course, in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Hello. Good morning. Thank you for joining us on Tuesday, March 4th. Speaking of marching forth, that's what we're going to do, and we're going to give you stuff.
Okay.
We're going to give you stuff.
Good segue.
Thank you. I wanted to make that joke, and I just shoehorned it in. It's
okay.
Fine. Jiffy Lube is giving stuff away for the entire Kings season, a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an exclusive Insiders hoodie. It's not the one James is wearing today, but in that vein, same kind of idea, really high-quality hoodie you can only get through this giveaway. You're going to go to ESPN1320.com, find the contest page, super easy. The code word today is climbing.
Climbing.
Climbing. C-L-I-M-B-I-N-G. Climbing, because that's what the Sacramento Kings are doing in the standings after last night's win. They are now only a half game out of the number 6 seed. Look, man, here's where I'm at. Yes, they're beating the hell out of bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
And in their 4-game win streak, two of the teams are actively hoping to draft Cooper Flagg, and one of them is the Mavs, whose injury report was already damn near an all-star team, and then Kyrie got hurt in the first quarter last night, only adding to that list. But I can't play that game.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sit here on the radio every day and go, well, you got to beat the heck out of this team. And then when they run them out of the freaking gym, I can't get on here and be like, yeah, but who did they play? Like, this is encouraging what we're seeing right now. Because look, what did we talk about right before the break? They were just barely beating Dallas in overtime.
Barely.
They were hanging on to beat the Pelicans a couple times and losing to the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
This is legitimate progress. And if you're not sold on this team yet, I get it. That's fine. But for me, where I stand, man, it's really hard to not be encouraged by their blowout wins over Charlotte and Utah, mm-hmm. a really, really nice win over Houston in Houston to sweep that season series. And then you go in last night against a Mavericks team that you're playing better than right now. They lose their best player in the first quarter, and you ran them out of the gym. That's a 24-point victory that was not even close to 24 points.
No.
That could have been 50. If the Kings wanted it to be.
I mean, it was such a huge blowout that Scalabissiere, who just signed a 10-day contract, our guy Scal, got into a regular season game for the first time.
Man.
The first time since December 28th, 2019.
That's so crazy. That's 5.5 years?
Yeah, somehow he played like 3 playoff games that year as well. So like his last official game in the NBA was May 14th, 2020. But we're talking about like 5+ years of not being in the NBA and then getting on the floor. And the reason you get on the floor in a game like that is because your team came out and thumped somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So like big shout out to our guy Scal, but also to his teammates who created a way in which he could play.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And the thing that I go back to from last night, again, this is not the Kings didn't beat the Oklahoma City Thunder by 30, right? Like, it's not I'm trying to, like, this is, I am more optimistic about the Kings now than I have been at any point this year, even during their 7-game win streak.
Okay.
Because we have seen this roster get kind of upended. This is a very different team than the one that went on that 7-game winning streak when Doug first took over as the head coach. Doug, like we're homies. When Doug Christie took over as the head coach, then you go look at last night. It's 7 turnovers. Nobody had more than one.
That's amazing.
It's incredible for a team that couldn't hang on to the freaking ball to only turn it over 7 times. That's a big deal. They held Dallas to 77 field goal attempts, which just really jumped off the page to me.
Wait, no one other than Markel Fultz had more than one. Markel Fultz had 3 turnovers.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. Yeah. Markel Fultz had 3 turnovers. You're
3
right.
of I'm the sorry. 7.
I was looking at the starters. No starter had more than one. Markel Fultz had more than half, right about half the turnovers, just under half the turnovers. Joe Brazil pointed this out today that, what was it, Joe? All the starters were plus 20 or better?
Yeah, yeah. It was the first time since, I believe it was 2018 or 2019 that all starters were in plus 20 or over.
Man.
That's wild.
It's incredible. Like, I have had nitpicks about almost every game over this stretch where I've kind of been like, yeah, but eh. I have no nitpicks. You can go, well, Keon went 0 for 7 from the field and 0 for 6 from 3. Yeah, that's fine. He's been scorching hot all year. He's going to have a tough game.
Yeah, those, that's going to happen.
At some point, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But from just a basketball standpoint, like, the offense was flowing. They were playing really good defense, I thought for the second night in a row. And just with their personnel, they're never going to be the Thunder on defense, right? I saw the Thunder's half-court offensive rating is like, or defensive rating is like 88.5.
Oh,
just insane, right? So they're never going to be that. But with them, it's just like effort. Can you play with a high intensity on the defensive end? And they're doing that right now. Their offense is starting to click into place a little bit. I've got no nitpicks. I can't do it.
I really like what's happening right now because some of the games, like, the Kings needed time to figure out roles. They needed time to, like, integrate all these new pieces. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, all the pieces that had left to, like, move on from those pieces. And I think to have a light schedule, a schedule that is against, you know, we can talk about the fact that, you know, like, you've played Dallas twice, you played Dallas twice after the Luka trade. You played the Pelicans 3 times. You played the Jazz once. You played a bunch of just really Charlotte, really a bunch of 14-win teams, a bunch of bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. You still have to win those games because we can rewind to last 100%. Year where they lost to the Washington Wizards. They lost to the Charlotte Hornets. They lost to the Portland Trailblazers. They lost to every bad team in the league one time. Well, they just went through a stretch where, sure, you let slip one game at the end of the first half of the season before the All-Star break to the Utah Jazz. Mm-hmm. I mean, to the New Orleans Pelicans, right? But outside of that, I think you have handled your business, and you basically have been able to use each of these games as a practice,
mm-hmm.
as a way to get better, as a way to, like, fix some of the issues that you have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we would have looked at this same stretch of games, but you throw in, like, 3 games against the Thunder instead of 3 games against the Pelicans, like, their record's not going to be the same in mm-hmm. those games. But I think because you're getting this opportunity to grow while playing NBA games,
mm-hmm.
when the schedule does start to turn, you are going to be better suited for it. And, mm-hmm. you know, again, we don't know how long Sabonis will be out, but that's going to be, like, a major question. How long until you have Sabonis back, and sure. can you survive against, you know, a team like the Denver Nuggets, who they play tomorrow night, without Sabonis? And the answer might be no. But hey, if somehow they do, then that's great. You know, you're starting to build up, you know, sort of this above 500 mark,
mm-hmm.
and you're starting to, you know, you've been able to hold your loss total at 28 while every other team around you keeps losing and picking up their 29th yep. and 30th loss.
Yep.
And that's really, really substantial. And you don't get to dictate who you play. You play the schedule in front of you. And after mm-hmm. this, like, we keep talking about, like, how the strength of schedule keeps changing and getting worse and worse. It's bad. But that doesn't mean that you're going to lose all those games. It just means yeah. that you're going to play tough competition every night.
It's starting to matter less.
Yeah,
that's what jumps out to me is they're just playing better basketball right now. And this is kind of what we talked about. I saw somebody, Eric B., said all those doom and gloom shows were maybe an overreaction. Like, no, it was just a reaction that you didn't like.
Yeah.
That was what was going on at that time. Like, that loss to Golden State was bad.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that wasn't good. That was 4 games ago. But, man, you just lost to the Pelicans, and then you come out and you get blown out by Golden State. Like, yeah, it was not easy to be like, hey, everything's going to be fine, actually. That would have been disingenuous. And now, if they go lose their next 5 games, this show then becomes an overreaction, right?
Of course.
So no, it's just reacting. Like, that's what I'm trying to get to. But anyways,
yeah,
they are doing the things that, at least right now, again, over the last few games, they're doing the things that I wanted to see before I was going to go, oh yeah, this is going to work. And again, I still have no idea if it's going to work long term, but that doesn't matter. They've won 4 in a row right now. And yeah. Now they go in and We circled these games after the break, and you went, okay, Golden State, that's a toss-up game, mm-hmm. but then you got to get Charlotte. You got to get Utah. Houston, okay, you can lose that one, but you got to get the one against the Mavericks, and they just keep winning them all, save for the Golden State game, mm-hmm. where now they are playing a brand of basketball where it's not, oh, man, DeMar DeRozan had 42, and, oh, the other team had 27 turnovers, and we're missing a bunch of guys, and, like, no, they're just
Keon Ellis busts out for 27, yeah, right. And that's how you won a game.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not, it is, it looks as though there's a cohesive style and brand of basketball that's starting to come together where all of a sudden they're going into Denver and you go, oh, okay. Like, yeah, maybe you go win that one.
Yeah. We're not basing all of our, like, whether they're going to win or lose specifically off an outlier performance by one individual player.
That's it.
And that's where you were for a little while. But hey, like, you needed DeMar DeRozan to carry you through those games.
Sure.
And that happens. Like, mm-hmm. there's going to be times in a season where you do need somebody to backpack you.
But we have a really big sample size of DeMar DeRozan backpacking a team having a very, very...
mediocre ceiling.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I'm with
so
you.
That's what it was kind of waiting on. Like, hey, how does Zach LaVine integrate? Looks like he's integrating really nicely. Mm-hmm. And it's not, hey, get the ball to Zach LaVine and let him go score 30 and then everybody else stand around and watch. Like, no, there's like an offense coming together. And they're playing really hard defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right. This is good. This is all good.
It is all good. And I think we can still have like discussions as we get closer to the end of the season or after the season about the long-term ramifications about some of the decisions that were made at the
sure.
trade deadline.
Sure.
Because it is like going to be an issue long-term. Like, there are long-term issues here that you're going to have to fix. But the short-term... I think the biggest thing for me, and like we keep saying this, but man, Doug Christie is 19-10 as a head coach. This
doing
team
a hell of a job.
They were 5 games under 500, man.
Can I? I think the Kings could do themselves a huge favor if they just remove the interim title from Doug right now.
Well, they can, but you always have like that thing hanging over your head that. If you do decide to make changes with your front office, mm-hmm. what does that look like? And will the next general manager, whatever front office that you're going to build, are they okay inheriting Doug? And are you creating the same situation that you did?
Maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, this is what they did with Michael Malone. They hired Michael Malone first and then Pete D'Alessandro. This is what they did when they hired Monty McNair and told Monty McNair, hey, we're hiring you, but you have to keep Luke Walton for at least the first year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not the proper way to build what you're trying to build. And I agree with you that pulling the interim tag would probably be the best thing right now.
Yeah.
And just give Doug a 4-year deal that starts next year with... You know,
you have a coach who's cooking right now. If you can't find a general manager that's like, yeah, I see the vision, then they don't get to play. They don't get to be part of the team.
That can be your approach. I totally get that. But I mean, we all know that works for the first year. It works for the first year and a half, 2 years. And then GM often goes, okay, like I like what he's doing or I don't like what he's doing, but I want my own guy.
Have Doug involved in the meetings then.
Yeah. No, that's true.
I get that it's way easier to sit here and say just do this, but I think just from a vibe standpoint, mm-hmm. man, 4-game win streak, you've climbed up the standings. You're a half game out of the number 6 seed. You just went, hey, Doug's cooking. He's 19-10. He's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move forward with this era of Sacramento Kings basketball. Just might come back to bite him. But if it seems like a
it's not our money, right,
win,
Kyle?
That's it, dude. Like, I don't care.
It's not our money.
The Kings have more money than I can even fathom. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Just go do it. What the hell?
Yeah.
We have 30 seconds here, so I'm going to be a downer for a second. My concern is that's what it is. It's not a strategic, like, oh, well, the front office has to be aligned with the head coach. My fear is that it's not a strategic basketball move, and it's a money move.
Mm.
And it's a don't want to pay this guy because it might not work out, and then we've got two coaches on the books, and we might have to hire a third one. That's, I think, the strategy here.
Okay.
I don't think it's a matter of our GM and head coach might not be aligned.
Yeah, and we're still a long ways away from the end of the season.
Yeah.
Like, we have to see how this thing plays out.
That's true. All right. Couple big picture things from the game last night. I thought Keegan was awesome. We'll talk about that. And another reason that I'm starting to trend toward optimism about the Kings. That's coming up next on the Insiders. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's James Hamm. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos, and he's going to send us to break.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil behind the glass. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're hanging out with you till noon. The Kings won, beat the hell out of the Mavs last night, 122-98. And something that has kind of been apparent for a while to me really solidified itself last night when I watched the Kings play as well as they did. I think the Kings' ceiling, at least this year, I don't want to do a big picture thing right now. But to me, the Kings' ceiling this year rises and falls with Keegan.
It's funny because it always has.
And it just, like, when he's aggressive offensively, and he only took 10 shots last night. It's not like, oh my God, he had 40 and this is, but when he is assertive and making shots and confidently taking threes the way he was last night, they're just, they're harder to beat.
Like, yeah.
They are just it's tough to quantify or to articulate if you don't. To anybody listening to this probably watches a lot of Kings. But if you don't, like, yeah, when this guy makes threes, when your other starter makes threes, your team is better. It's like, yeah, duh. But for the Kings, with the amount of scoring they have and with the type of scoring they have, when Keegan is that tertiary option or that fourth option on offense, it's just like, oh, like, there's a pop. It's just a little bit different. There's a little more force that they play with when Keegan's getting downhill, when he's knocking down threes. They're just a little bit better basketball team. They're a tier better to me. I think this is about like a, like, play-in, maybe fringe playoff team normally.
Okay.
When Keegan's cooking, they're a bona fide playoff team to me.
Yeah, I totally feel that, and my six quick thoughts I wrote, I can't quit on Keegan's potential.
Don't spoil the bit. 11 o'clock, six quick thoughts.
Well, yeah, but...
No, I know, go ahead.
But that's the deal, though. Like, mm-hmm. I know, like, you talked about it the other day. You're like, I think this is just who he is. And then he has a streak of games, and you're like, I don't want that to be who he is. Like, you see the potential, and... Yes. You know, like we talked about, like, the gardening metaphor and all that stuff. Like, I don't think the Kings have done right by him. I don't think that they put him in the best position to succeed.
I'd agree.
And I think that right now, Doug Christie is looking at Keegan Murray as his way out, as his way to make this team much better. There's only really one way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, DeMar DeRozan is who he is. He's going to have really, really good nights. He's going to have somewhat good nights that are, you know, close to really good nights. He's not going to have horrible nights.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the 1-0-for-7, like, fourth quarter in overtime was an aberration.
Mm-hmm.
That's not who he is, right? you look at Zach LaVine, once he's solidified in what he does, you're like, okay, there are going to be nights where he goes for 40 and there are going to be nights where he goes for 18, but realistically, you're going to get 22 to 24 a night.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Domantas Sabonis and you can just write in and pin, you know, 20, 14, and 6. The one variable that you have with this team, and like that's outside of Keon Ellis, and like we can talk about like the blow-up games that Keon has, but realistically, Keon Ellis is a player who averages, you know, if you get 8 points out of him, that's kind of standard. If you get 12 points out of him, okay. But every once in a while, he has these flyer games that are just outlandish, right?
Yeah, it's the night-in, night-out production that matters.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not to take away from what he does on the defensive end or anything else. The only way out of this mess for the Kings, to mm-hmm. me, has always been Keegan Murray. He's the guy that has who's averaging 12 points a game, but could easily, in the right situation, average 20. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the guy that you, if you're going to find a way to take a step from being what you talked about, a fringe playoff team or a play-in team, a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 team, mm-hmm. if you're going to take some leap, it's because he does what, you know, I don't know, like, look around the league, what Trey Murphy's done to take mm-hmm. the big leap, or what Jalen Williams did to take the big leap. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. But while one team has a young player that's ready to ascend and his front office goes out and gets a defensive-minded center and Alex Caruso to play in the backcourt, mm-hmm. another defensive-minded guy to allow a player like Jalen Williams to excel,
mm-hmm.
the other team goes out and gets a guy who averaged over 20 shots a game last season. And so you just, you're not like feeding him the right way. You're not mm-hmm. nurturing a young player the right way. And we're starting to see that maybe the coach is saying, hey, look, this is our guy. You guys need to back up. You guys need to give a little of mm-hmm. yourself to let this guy be good. Or maybe Keegan's just like, wait a sec. I'm eligible for an extension this summer? What am I doing? Like, give me the ball. Yeah. Like, you're hoping that that's what's happening, right? That he's demanding something,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. You know, like, overall, Keegan is your pathway to success, mm-hmm. future success. And yep. the Kings need to embrace that as a franchise and do everything in their power to raise him up.
Yep.
And sometimes that means clearing out some of the other players so this guy can become what he's going to become.
26-9 all time when Keegan scores 20 or more. Not including the playoffs.
Yeah.
26-9.
Yeah.
Like, that's it, man. He's just, he offers something a little bit different. And last night, again, I think he only took 10 shots. But, sorry, let me make sure that's right. Yeah, 10 shots, 4 of 8 from 3. But it's the assertiveness that he plays with that was different.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered Keegan Murray playing last night. And there are too many nights where you look at the box score after the game and you're like, oh yeah, that's right. Keegan played 36 minutes. I remember nothing that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Or Keegan played 36 minutes. He had 8 points in the first quarter and finished with 12. Like that's where I would love to see more of what we saw last night. He only played 24 and a half minutes and had 18 points, 5 boards, 3 assists.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. He played 25 minutes and was phenomenal. He ran a plus 29. He started the game defending Kyrie like what mm-hmm. we thought he would.
Yep.
I mean, talk about your power forward started the game defending a player who was having an all-NBA season at point guard. The best ball handler in the NBA
mm-hmm.
at 6'1" or whatever Kyrie mm-hmm. is. Your 6'8" power forward defended him. Mm-hmm. And that tells you everything you need to know about Keegan Murray as a player, but also the construction of your team.
No doubt.
Like, that's a problem. It's a good problem that he's able to go out there and defend him. It's a bad problem because that's not the way you shouldn't just say, hey, power forward, I need you to go get their point guard. It's like, well, what about all these other dudes? Crazy. Like, we don't care. You go get him. That's just wild.
Man. Completely unrelated. You mentioned he started out guarding Kyrie Irving, and yesterday before the game we talked about going at Klay Thompson defensively.
Yeah.
I didn't even look at this last night. Klay Thompson played 25 minutes. He went 1 of 4 from the field and ran a minus 30. Oh.
man. Yikes. He looked cooked.
He did.
I feel bad for him, too, because it just gets worse after this.
Yeah, man. I officially, we talked about this the other day. Like, where do you land? Just zooming out, not like trying to separate the Kings from the Mavericks for a moment, because right now they're tied together because of the standings. But separate yourself from that. Just in a vacuum, this season has just been a disaster for the Mavs. And I wondered, do you find yourself rooting against the Mavericks because of Nico Harrison, who just kind of fumbled this whole thing? Or do you find yourself rooting for them because you feel bad for their fans? I was stuck in the middle. I officially feel bad for Mavs fans.
Oh, man, it's a disaster.
This is an important thing. The Mavericks organization has not had nearly the tumult that, like, the Sacramento Kings organization has had. Mm-hmm. I don't feel bad for Mavs fan over the span of their fandom. I'm just talking about this season. It's really hard to have a worse year than this. They've had Luka traded, their star 26-year-old.
That led them to the finals last year.
Led them to the finals last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the tough part. You were so close. I mean, we talk about, like, the Kings were so close, they made the playoffs one time as a...
Yeah.
And then it all fell apart. Like, you made it to the finals with a 26-year-old superstar.
Yeah.
And now nothing. Now it's all over.
And you...
That's tough.
And now Anthony Davis is out. Derek Lively's out. Daniel Gafford's out. Caleb Martin is out. Jaden Hardy's out. Kyrie Irving's out. Did I miss anyone? PJ Washington's out.
Yep.
That's like seven of their best nine players.
What's crazy, too, is when they've played the Kings... The Kings have been the ones that have, like, last year we had this situation where Luka falls on Malik Monk. Like, whether we say that's
belly
intentional, flopped and falls on, and injures Malik Monk's knee. This year it's crazy because we have the Gafford injury, and then you have last night you have the Kyrie injury followed by the Jaden Hardy injury. Jaden Hardy looks like he's going to be out for a while. They're talking maybe like grade one, grade two, grade three sprain, but it's probably more like a grade two. He's probably out at least like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. He's going to miss a game and be back.
No, and Daniel Gafford's out 6 weeks after the Malik Monk play. And again, Monk didn't do that intentionally, hurt him, but
no.
It's just weird that three of the Mavs have gone down in like bad fashion against the Kings.
And then, to make matters worse for the Mavs, somebody pointed this out today, and I wish I had saved the tweet because they pointed this out. I did not research this myself. Because of the Caleb Martin trade, Caleb Martin, who's hurt and not playing, the Mavs hard capped themselves.
Oh, yeah. That's a weird one.
And that was why. So somebody in the chatty house yesterday said they can't re-sign Moses Brown. And I had not realized that was because they were at the hard cap and could not fit a 10-day contract for Moses Brown on their roster.
Which is wild because we're talking about like $140,000.
Right.
That's how crazy. Not only did they hard cap themselves, but they're up against the hard cap.
Right.
So it's like a double whammy,
it's
right?
Brutal, dude.
I know. I read this thing and like somebody was like just flaming their general manager for whatever happened here with the hard cap situation.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, you had a center that was on the rise. It's like, okay, slow your roll. It's Moses Brown.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to slow our roll here. That's crazy. That's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you don't have the opportunity to bring in somebody else, and then they were able to get Kai Jones
on. Who was their best player last night?
He was by far their best player on a two-way contract. And it's funny because yesterday we talked about this weird thing. The question was, like, how are you going to miss Sabonis? Mm-hmm. Like, what is it that Sabonis does that Valanciunas doesn't do? And I, like, right away, I said, hey, like, when you go to double team or shock or trap Kyrie Irving, you can't do that with Valanciunas. He's not quick enough like Sabonis is. Sabonis is very light on his feet for a big guy. Mm-hmm. And you're going to struggle with guys on the perimeter. I didn't think that Sabonis would struggle with the rim run guys. And that's what happened last night. Because that's what Kai Jones is. He's a rim runner guy and just destroyed the Kings.
Yeah.
Like, so it's... Like, against big guys, you know, again, tomorrow night against Jokic, I think Valanciunas is going to hold up just fine.
That'll be fine, yeah.
Yeah, but you're going to have trouble with perimeter guys, and you're going to have trouble with the fast rim running guys where you're going to have to go more to guys like Trey Lyles.
You say Valanciunas will be fine against Jokic. It's like relatively.
Relatively. I mean, for the guy's averaging a triple-double and 30 points a game.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, man. That's just, I've reached the point where I'm like, man, tough season for the Mavs.
Oh, it's horrible.
No.
Yeah.
Jason Gallagher, who's a podcast producer, he's done a ton of video work. He worked with Mind the Game with LeBron James and J.J. Redick. He did stuff with The Ringer, Dan Le Batard's show. He worked for Crooked Media. Old Man in the Three, J.J. Redick's podcast. I also did that. He tweeted this morning, Nico Harrison, man, I can't believe one person was able to undo 25 years of basketball culture in Dallas. Everyone from diehard Mavs fans to players to execs are still stunned by the stupidity of this man's decision-making. I really hope he loses his job soon. It's the only way this fan base truly turns the page on this abysmal chapter. Oof. Damn. That's tough. That's where the Mavs are at.
That's tough. You got led astray.
Yep.
By one person.
Yep. Shifting gears back to the Kings, here on the Insiders, James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, Joe Brazil, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. I'm not here yet, but is there a point where we give the Kings front office some flowers for doing this rebuild on the fly?
I mean,
or are we giving Doug Christie more of the credit for being able to... I don't want to say make chicken salad, but...
Capture the imagination.
Yeah, just to figure it out on the fly.
You know, first and foremost, I think we have to see what they look like at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's fair. And I don't... And the reason I'm stuck is the Kings roster is deeper than it was at any point earlier this season, to be totally sure. But at the same time, I think I've used this phrase before. You don't get credit for putting out a fire you started.
No, that's very true.
So that's where I'm a little bit stuck.
I also, like, look, we have to see, do they make the playoffs? Do they make the play-in? I mean, clearly at this point, they're going to make the play-in. Like, the Mavs just imploded in front of our eyes. We watched it happen last night. They're done.
Yeah.
They're absolutely cooked. There's no way for them to recover. Mm-hmm. The Suns look like they're cooked. The Kings are now, what are they, 5 games up on the Suns? Yeah. Something like that. So it's going to be very difficult. But the season was always about getting back to the playoffs, and I think that's still the standard that you have to set. And then you have to reassess this summer, like, how much damage was done. Are you okay with, you know, the fact that they were able to restock future draft picks and, you know, sort of get you back in line with where you should be as far as draft pick-wise with the trades? But, yeah, I don't know that I'm ready to say, yeah, they've done a great job here. But at the same time, like, you know, I think the Valanciunas pickup was huge.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jake LaRavia is playing out of his mind, even though he's not scoring. He had 8 points last night, and that's why blowouts are good, because sometimes a player like Jake LaRavia starts to get his legs underneath him, his sea legs, and kind of figure things out. He had 8 points. So I think that's good. I think that signing Markelle Fultz has been, like, an interesting move that's helped, right? So all of these pieces, the Zach LaVine trade, you know, there's bigger ramifications about Zach LaVine than just right now. Mm-hmm. And it's good that he's fitting in. He's become your leading scorer.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, there are some long-term ramifications of that move, and you've got to see how that all plays out. But overall, like, look, if you're going to have to rebuild on the fly, I guess for right now, it looks like that they've steadied the ship.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not willing to, like, again, what you said, they created a lot of the mess they're in.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
And there was a way in which you could have avoided everything.
Yeah, totally. And that's what we've been pretty critical of the front office.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be fair.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to see if there's a point where we go, wow, you know what? Hey, they did a heck of a job with a tough situation where their franchise point guard asks out in midseason. They're making trades and they're using those assets and they're kind of rebuilding a roster on the fly with a new head coach who's then got to work this in. Again, like I said, I'm not there quite yet, but I do wonder if at some point we look back at this and go, man, that was Jake LaRavia, heck of a pickup. Jonas Valanciunas, heck of a pickup. Zach LaVine, they got the best player they could possibly get for De'Aaron Fox. I do wonder if at some point we, if that's how this goes down in history, instead of what a mess.
Yeah,
and maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be interesting. We have to see how it all plays out in the end. And I'm more than willing to say, hey, look, Zach LaVine plays 80 something or 75 games a year for the next 2 years, mm-hmm. and averages 24, 25 a game, and improves defensively, and you can mask some of the other issues. That's fine. Like, if we get to that point, like, I have no problems admitting I was wrong if this works out to be just a brilliant move.
Totally.
I
honestly would prefer it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go into another offseason where, like, oh, God, this sucks.
I don't want to cover horrible basketball my entire,
This is so much more fun being like, hey, they won 4 in a row.
Yeah.
Look, everything's starting to fall into place.
Yep.
It's way more fun. Hope it keeps up. All right. A little bit of NFL news to get to. Another big name wide receiver on the market. Should the 49ers pursue him? I'm going to leave the Raiders out of it because of who it's Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
I don't think the Raiders are in a hurry to go get Devontae Adams. And then did the Kings get any help last night? We'll talk about that as well. He's James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, Joe Brazil behind the glass. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader. Now, Joe, make the voice guy repeat me.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Sorry, it's not a third Meet the Parents movie, which might have already come out.
Yeah, that did. It, number three did.
Did it?
Yeah.
So the person in this movie is from the Meet the Parents trilogy.
Okay.
I believe it's Ben Stiller's girlfriend / fiance / wife in the movies is in this movie.
Okay, but that's it?
That's it. That's all I've got. Screener links and interview opportunities available. You want to interview Ben Stiller's wife / fiance / girlfriend from the parents?
From the original.
From the OG.
I'll bite the bullet. I'll do it for you guys.
You got it?
I got it.
Joe's
on
it. Very good. Anyways, he's James. I'm Kyle. Did the Kings get any help last night? Kinda is the answer. Would have preferred to see Golden State lose to the Hornets, and boy, did they try. Buddy Hield wasn't going to let him. Nothing. Okay, that's fine.
That's fine.
The Warriors won 119-101. It was close in the third quarter. Buddy Hield hit a bunch of threes in the fourth. I think he hit three threes in the fourth and pulled away. And turns out Charlotte's not very good.
It does feel like every single night someone the Kings are competing for a playoff spot plays the Charlotte
Hornets.
It's
uncanny.
Like every night.
It is outrageous.
Oh, well, who are the Clippers playing tonight? You're like, oh, man.
I got the Hornets.
It's the Hornets. Who are the Warriors playing? Oh, come on.
Why are they playing the Clippers again?
I know. It's like, what is happening? How come you keep playing this bad team?
Yeah, so Golden State beat the Hornets last night, 119-101. Golden State moves into the number six seed for now. They're a half game up on the Clippers and the Kings. Yes. Right? Yeah, Clippers and Kings. On the other hand, you mentioned the Rockets yesterday. And I said, well, hang on. Let's get the Kings to the sixth seed first, and then we can start talking five.
Okay.
But you see the Rockets lose 137-128 to the Thunder. Houston not playing particularly well right now. They're still 37-24. They're not bad by any stretch.
They've got a buffer.
Yeah, but at one point they were 32-14, and they've gone 5-10 over their last 15.
Oh.
So I'm going to start tying the Rockets in here.
I think they have to be.
If for no other reason, like forgetting for a moment, like, oh man, the Kings might win 12 in a row. Putting that aside, it could be a situation where the Kings win like 8 out of 10, have a really nice run, and catch Houston because Houston loses 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a, that seems to be on the table in a way that I did not think it would be. So we're going to start looping the Rockets in. We're done looking behind us. We're done looking at the Suns and the Blazers and the Spurs and all that. They're done. And I'm going to start mixing in the Rockets because the Kings just 4.5 back of the Rockets for the number 5 seed.
Yeah, I mean, the Suns are 4.5 games behind the Kings.
Right.
For they're currently the 11, and 5 games back is Portland, and like I don't know what, 6.5 games back is San Antonio. It's really tough to close that gap with this many games left.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a possibility. Again, 4.5 games is a lot
mm-hmm.
to make up. But when a young team gets to this point in the season, and this is their first time being way up high in the standings,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times we see this. Like epic fail in the final 25 games of the season. And again, that's because the basketball just gets more physical.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens in the second half is very specific. The bad teams are horrible. Mm-hmm. And so when you got a bunch of those, that's, you're fine, right? But the good teams are just much better than they were a month or two earlier. They really start cranking things up.
Yeah.
And you want to be one of the good teams that's cranking it up. And with a young team, a lot of times you just don't know how to do that.
Yeah, that's another thing that, you know, we start talking about optimism for the Kings and stuff. Sometimes it's just about playing good basketball at the right time. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're Sacramento, you feel great about the play-in. Like if that's the bar, you are in a calamity would have to happen for you to fall out of the top 10. So I don't believe that's going to happen. It's never say never, but mm-hmm. I'm not inclined to believe that's going to happen. The key for me is top 8, where maybe you're in the play-in, but you cannot be in the 9-10 play-in. Because if you're in that 9-10 play-in,
mm-hmm.
even if you're hosting it, even if you're the 9, that was the case last year when they hosted Golden State. You can win that, but then you still have to win another one.
And you have to go on the road.
And if you're in the 9-10 game, the best you can do is 8th, and I don't think you want smoke with OKC in a playoff series.
Nobody does.
So, if you can avoid that, and you can, even if you're 7, obviously you prefer to be 6, maybe even 5.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can get to 7, where you're getting Denver, maybe you're getting LA, because I think LA is currently in the number 2?
Yeah, they're number 2 last time I looked.
They have the tiebreaker over the Nuggets. Like, I don't know that the King. In fact, I know the Kings wouldn't be favored in either of those series. But man, you had 7 against the Lakers. You had 7 against the Nuggets. I'd feel a lot better about that than having Sacramento have to go play Oklahoma City. So that said, I'm looping the Rockets in, and then we're going to continue. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but we're going to continue to keep track of that 2-3 as well. You just can't fall to 9. That's
no.
The biggest thing. Just don't.
You don't want a road play-in game. No. I mean, if you're the 8th, you still have a road play-in game, but you have a home play-in game to get in,
mm-hmm.
right? And the key, I mean, you want to be 7, so you're at home for the play-in game, and if you win, you play the 2 seed.
Yeah.
The best is to get to 6 and somehow just
avoid it all.
It's what we dealt with last year with this team, and at the last second, they fell apart and dropped all the way to 10.
Yep.
Before that, they were in really good position. Mm-hmm. You know, it just like it really like spun out really late in the season when Herter and Monk got hurt.
Yeah. Shifting gears briefly to the NFL. Not a major surprise, but Davante Adams was released by the New York Jets today.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever, it's so funny in the NFL, whenever a wide receiver is available, everybody talks themselves into it.
Of course.
The only position where that happens. Great linebacker gets let go, people are like, meh.
Great running back, like 8 running backs changed teams last year.
Every year.
But last year was extreme.
Last year was crazy. And then they all played great. Yeah. Running back renaissance last year.
Yep.
No, but look, here's the deal. I think the Raiders are out. I can't fathom the Raiders being like, yeah, we want to get back in the Davante Adams business. So, okay, they're out. San Francisco's wide receiver situation is going to lend people to be like, hey, Davante Adams, that's a move.
Uh-huh.
Go get Davante Adams is going to get paid somewhere. Really good player still. Like, don't get it twisted. But if you're San Francisco, I don't think that's a prudent use of your funds is to go sign a 30-something-year-old wide receiver who's going to command a lot of money on the open market. A wide receiver who has had a couple of tumultuous exits from him, from a couple of teams he's been on.
Yeah, I'm surprised. He just turned 32, mm-hmm. and you know, he was born in Redwood City,
mm-hmm.
so I think you can start to, like, maybe. I don't know. I mean, he was still somewhat effective last year. Between two teams, he had 1,063 yards and 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah, and
I'm just out on spending more money. Like, they, like, look, whether you like it or not, they gave Brandon Ayuk a bag.
Yeah, yeah.
You cannot, you can't, to me, justify being like, yeah, we're letting Deebo Samuel go because of money and frankly effectiveness. Like, uh-huh. if he was awesome last year, they would probably be talking extension, right? But you can't do that and then also bring in another expensive wide receiver. That's so much money mm-hmm. dedicated to your wide receiver room when you have a quarterback that you're about to pay because you believe he doesn't need that level of talent around him. And he might, but the 49ers are going to pay him because they don't believe he does. So I'm out on the Devontae Adams idea. I don't want any more wide receiver issues for now.
I would be in if you can get him for a reasonable price. And I don't, like, if you can get him for a 2-year, $20 million deal or something,
then
$10 million a year, yeah. like whatever. Like, yes. sure, I'm in.
Yes. Sure.
I'm not going above and beyond because then if you need to cut him, if he becomes a problem, you just cut him.
Mm-hmm.
And I, especially with the Ayuk injury, with the uncertainty of that,
mm-hmm.
and then with your receiving room already being a little light and Juwan Jennings in the final, going into the final year of his deal,
mm-hmm.
I think you do have to look at, like, what the future is.
No doubt.
I'm not going for a 32-year-old as my future, but I certainly think, like, to buy you time until Ayuk is back. And Adams has been exceptional. Like, yeah, I mean,
really
he's had a couple of 1,500-yard seasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has been an exceptional wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And he's not just a guy who catches a bunch of balls or a guy who gets a bunch of yards or a guy who gets a bunch of touchdowns, because very rarely do you get all three of those in one wide receiver. But he does. He is a guy who does all of that. A bunch of catches, a bunch of yards, and a bunch of touchdowns.
Yeah, and to your point, for me, this is purely a financial thing.
Oh, of course.
Like, that's what it is. Not, I think Devontae Adams is bad at football. Devontae Adams would be the 49ers' best wide receiver by a lot. And you're right, they do need to make an investment in the position. But if you can get him for a year and $15 million, like, all right, cool.
Okay.
Or you said two for 20. If he's going to be that cheap, then yeah, sure. Like, go do it. I'm imagining he's going to get a sizable deal, not at the top of the market, but top 10, top 15-ish wide receiver money.
Be interesting, because he's 32. I mean, the wide receiver money does dry up.
And he might just follow Aaron Rodgers. He might just wait out and go. I want
to
play. Yeah, I want to play with Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to wait for him to go to the Giants or whatever, and that's where I will sign to. Maybe that's the case. But if he's going to command the type of contract, I think he's going to command him out.
Okay.
If you can get him for cheap, though, yes, absolutely.
Well, I just see those two, like, sitting in a yurt somewhere wondering what happened to their careers. Why'd you lead me here? Like, I don't know, man. This is our path, bro.
Well, they're both going to get gold jackets. They're both going to be in Canton. So
that's right.
They can wear their gold jackets and their yurt together. All right. I'm Kyle. He's James. We'll have more basketball coming up for you. In the second hour, we'll dive back into the Kings' win last night. And Jonas Valanciunas playing really well the last couple of nights. We'll discuss that as well. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're the Insiders. Hanging out with you till noon here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two! That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil pushing the buttons. We're hanging out with you till noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey. Man, I just chugged the rest of my coffee. There was way more coffee in that mug than I thought there was.
Mm.
That's tough. But I had committed to the chug, so I just kind of had to let it rip.
Okay.
It's tough for me.
Well, that's why you need your temperature of your coffee set at 135 degrees.
So I have that same mug. You were kind enough to get me that same mug in a really cool and my favorite color. It's like a dark red. I really love it. I need to figure out the workflow to be able to have that plugged in during the show, but then also not have it hinder me as I'm trying to exit. But now that we have Joe pushing buttons where I don't have to do a bunch of stuff on this side.
There it is.
I think that's going to be easier for me. And I didn't even think about it this morning when I went to go make my coffee.
You can even just charge it and then it can sit. You don't have to have it on its charger the whole time. Like it does charge.
Will it sit through the whole show?
Yeah, it would sit, if not the whole show, like really close.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
I know.
All right. There very good.
The more you know.
Before we get to Zach's quick thoughts, as we get back into the Kings game last night, let's get to our guy Mitch in New Jersey. Scalabissiere is not the former Kings big he wants in a Kings uniform. Mitch, go ahead and let us know, who would you like to see instead of Scal?
Instead of Scal? Well, how you doing, Kyle, James?
Doing
What's
great.
Up, Mitch?
Joe's great. He hung up on me, so just give him 20 laps, all right? Just 20 laps around the studio.
No, we're giving him a raise for that.
James, I like that shirt. I guess I should get one for me. I'm the outsider, okay?
Perfect.
We all know that, anyway. Why couldn't we have got just signed Mattu? I don't think Scal is any better. I think Teddy Mattu, Timothy Mattu, I know I screwed up again.
It's okay, you're cooking.
Mattu, got it.
Mattu, thank you. I get it correct once in a while. And with the Mavs, I bet you they probably offered Kyrie Irving first before they did. Luca. Come on, Luca's a few pounds, so Kyrie looks like an athlete. I think everywhere he goes, him and James Harden could write a book, How to Get Your Way, and within 2 years, change everything. I think that Devontae Adams has taken a copy of, has read it, their book. And thank you for taking my call. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Mitch. Chimezie Mattu, thoughts?
Chimezie Mattu. I don't know where Chimezie is right now. I don't know where he's playing right now. I'm going to guess it's overseas somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was possible he was in, oh man. I think it's possible he was with Fenerbahce.
Oh.
But I'll look and see where Chimezie is right now.
Yeah,
I'll
get him on the horn. See what's good.
Like for the Kings, I think the Kings could use like a rim running big. They don't have one.
Yeah.
Like that's what you see.
Scal.
Well, Scal. Okay. And even Scal really isn't that.
No.
Right. So if you're looking at like, again, the Kai Jones, Daniel Gafford, it's like they collect them in Dallas. Derek Lively. Mm-hmm. There we go. They collect that type of player. The Kings, for whatever reason, have gone away from that style of big man because that's not what Alex Len was.
Right.
And it is what JaVale McGee was. He's one mm-hmm. of the original rim-running guys, right? He's like the dribble-drive motion offense with George Karl. That's where you get players like that, where this comes from. The Kings just haven't gone that way. Like, the Kings don't send a rim runner. They send guys to the corners
mm-hmm.
to space the floor. And it's just a different concept. They don't usually have a guy running at the basket, which is different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like Chimezie Mattu ran his course here in Sacramento, and like
Chimezie Mattu is not the difference between the Kings making or missing the playoffs. Let's keep it a stack.
No, unless you ask Chimezie, and I think that was part of the problem.
Oh,
yeah, he really did
loves him some Mattu.
Some Chimezie Mattu. Yeah,
all right. Very good.
Good dude, but yeah.
TC still there? Let's get to our guy TC on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. What former Kings big would you like to see them re-sign? Go ahead, TC.
We're fine right now. I'm not looking really to sign anybody, bro. We just got to get our camaraderie together and continue to build this brotherhood with the team. Perfect. I don't think we bring nobody in. You Love keep it. Pushing what we got going on. Zach found himself. But as far as the Niners, Kyle and him, I'm being dead serious with this, bro. And I'm not even really big on, well, I was big on Aaron, but, you know, he has his diva tendencies. But right now, if the Niners are trying to go hard, well, why don't you go get Aaron and Devontae on a player deal, one-year options on both of them if you're trying to go hard and go try to get a Super Bowl, sign both those deals. Brock, you take a back seat. Aaron and Devontae and go hard, in my opinion.
Hmm. Wow.
I don't agree.
Let me just, like...
I'm out. Aaron Rodgers is washed.
It's very possible that Aaron Rodgers, during this offseason, has invented a time machine and reversed his age by, like, 5 years and is a reasonable NFL quarterback again. But last season's Aaron Rodgers, it's possible he took a trip and he's younger now. I don't know. Maybe TC knows something. I don't. But I don't have any interest in a quarterback that really just couldn't make all the throws last year at all.
Yeah, that's just it. Is Aaron Rodgers is one of the, I don't want to get into a huge argument about this, one of the 10 best quarterbacks of all time?
Yeah, 10, 15, yeah, something
whatever.
Like that.
He is one of the best quarterbacks to ever put on pads in the NFL, right? But it just like, so much of what he was really good at was like off-platform throws and getting outside the pocket and extending plays and just these like little things moving around in the pocket. And he just can't do that anymore.
Nope.
When he can sit back and let it rip, like he's going to be able to complete passes until he's 50. Mm-hmm. But I think his days as an effective quarterback. And here's the other thing. We talked about this a little bit the other day. I'm open to having any discussion. Like, let's talk about the Aaron Rodgers thing if you want. In reality, that's not what the Niners are doing.
No.
I think
the line of attack here by TC, because what he wants is for Aaron Rodgers to come in, to fail, to get Kyle Shanahan fired, and for the 49ers to move forward without Kyle Shanahan, renowned Kyle Shanahan hater, TC.
I think that's got to be it.
I think that's it.
Maybe there's people in the chatty house that disagree with me that think Aaron Rodgers is still awesome. Maybe.
And you think...
That's not the risk I'd be willing to take.
Yeah, and what do you think Robert Saleh has to say about that?
Just good question.
Like, wondering.
Really good
question. Like, what do you think Robert Saleh would say about that idea, who is now the defensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers again?
But even if you think Aaron Rodgers has an MVP season in him, if that's like where you land, and I'm not saying anybody's saying that, but but maybe I'm too low on him. Even if you think he's still got MVP caliber football left, the reality of the situation is, and if that's the case, if you know, let me back up. If you know, if we're using your time machine that you just talked about, and we go forward and we go, oh, Aaron Rodgers has got an MVP caliber season left in him. Like, okay, that would change the calculus on this. That would change the discussion for me.
Uh-huh.
But I personally don't think he does. And in reality, that's not the route the 49ers have any intention of going. Everything they've said... Yeah. Is that Brock Purdy is going to be their quarterback. They're not looking to replace Brock Purdy. They did a couple of years ago when Tom Brady, after his last season, they reached out to Tom Brady and said, and Kyle Shanahan has said this on the record, hey, are you still interested in playing football? And before doing that, they told Brock Purdy, who had a torn UCL at the time, and they had no idea how he'd recover or when he'd be ready, they said, hey, FYI, we're going to call Tom Brady because we're not sure about your elbow. But if he says no and your elbow's okay, you're the starter. Like, you're our guy, but we also are going to check in with Tom freaking Brady. Mm-hmm. I don't think they would do that to him again, where they go, hey, you're fine. You're going to get a contract extension, but you're also going to be the backup this year without an extension, and we're going to go get Aaron Rodgers, and he's going to play here for a year, and then we'll sign you to a contract. Like, that's just not... The whole like Brock take a back seat thing, that's not how this works.
No, it's over and done now. Yeah. And
but if he can guarantee me you're gonna get MVP Aaron Rodgers,
not a chance. Mm. 2 years removed from Achilles tear at age 42. Yeah, I'll pass.
Yeah, man, that's where I land.
Yeah.
And maybe it was just the Jets, and that's the reason he wasn't in peak form last year.
You might as well just go back to Tom Brady and say, hey, Tom, are you sure at age 47 that you don't want to come back and play? You know, he'll be 48 during the season. Come on now. It's Tom Brady.
So happy that's not part of my life anymore. I was so sick of talking about Tom Brady.
Yeah.
The 49ers.
I totally grew up
a Niner fan? Yeah, no, we got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wanted to come here in 2019. They said no because he looked washed and Jimmy Garoppolo looked awesome in 2019.
Well, that and
what are you going to do?
Tom Brady is just such a different beast that I don't think people, like, there's no way to like put it into numbers. Like, or there is. I mean, at age 43, he had 4,600 passing yards and 40 touchdowns. At age 44, he had 5,300 passing yards and 43 touchdowns with only 12 interceptions. At age 45, he had 4,694 yards passing and 25 touchdowns.
Good God.
He was still the best quarterback in the league, and one of the MVP seasons, he got an MVP stolen from him by Aaron Rodgers that had no business going to Aaron Rodgers. It should have gone to Tom Brady without any question. And like that's who, like, Tom Brady at age 45, okay, he's still putting up just ridiculously silly numbers. That's not who Aaron Rodgers has been the last 3 years.
No.
So to, like, to expect him to just flip a switch and be great again? No.
His age 38 season 2021, he won the MVP. He was awesome. He was removing the off-field stuff for a second. I am a big fan of Aaron Rodgers, the football player. I have been a fan of Aaron Rodgers, the football player. But the reality is that that MVP season, he threw for 4,100 yards, 37 touchdowns. He led the league in touchdown rate. He led the league in interception rate. He only threw 4 interceptions in 531 attempts. He was outstanding. Led the league in passer rating, QBR. He was really good.
Brady had that same year had 5,300 yards and 43 touchdowns. Led the league in passing attempts and passing completions.
Crazy. That's so crazy.
Yeah, he threw 12 picks, but 5,300 yards and 43 touchdowns, and he didn't win the MVP.
Then his final year in Green Bay, well, that's so nuts. But then Rodgers, the next year, the final year in Green Bay, he goes 3,700 yards, 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. His touchdown rate plummets. His interception rate skyrockets. Then he tears his Achilles in his age 40 season. And his age 41 season, he was just okay again. 3,900 yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 picks. He doesn't suck.
Yeah.
He's like a terrible player. But he's not the level of player at this point of his career, I believe, that you're going to say, hey, our whole plan at quarterback, we think Brock Purdy is the guy. We think Brock Purdy is our franchise quarterback. We're going to pay him $50, $55, $60 million this offseason. That's what's going to happen. You're not going to put all of that on hold and potentially alter the course of your franchise for one season of this version of Aaron Rodgers.
Nope. Not even going to consider it. Good luck with
and
that.
And if Aaron Rodgers goes to the New York Giants or wherever and has and is an MVP and carries the Giants to the playoffs, cool. I'll eat some crow. I'm way more comfortable banking on the fact that Aaron Rodgers is just kind of now than he just needs better weapons around him. That's where I land.
Yep.
Anyways.
I'm with you.
Thanks. that went on a lot longer than I thought it was going to do. Saquon Barkley signed a 2-year, $41.2 million extension. Running backs are so back.
Running backs are getting paid again?
And speaking of being back, your boy is back in Underdog Daily Fantasy because I've been on a losing streak. A little 4 out of 4 action last night for your boy with Underdog's Pick'em game. I got to get my read. Hang on. I don't have the disclaimer down just yet. And I need to read that disclaimer verbatim according to the little piece of paper they give me. But hey, Steph Curry, lower than 5.5 three-pointers made. This is how easy it is. You pick higher or lower on player stats, at least 2 of them, and then you can win up to 1,000 times your entry. So I had Steph Curry lower than 5.5 three-pointers made. He only made 3. He made 2 in a row, like really early in the game. I was like, uh-oh.
I thought that was a bold prediction from you.
Yeah, no.
Bold.
He's dang near 37 years old, and he's been cooking. He's going to be cold for a couple of games. So 3 three-pointers made. Malik Monk higher than 6.5 assists. He had 8. The Malik Monk higher on assists feels like a must-have for every single lineup I make.
I used to do the points and assists and with Malik.
Just every time. Yep. Rack them up. Kyrie Irving, lower than 29.5 points. Because I went lower, they did not remove him from my lineup when he got hurt. Mm. So that's a winner for me. And then LaMelo Ball, higher than 23.5 points, just snuck over with 25 points. I had takes on the NBA. I turned it into cash. you can do the same. Download the Underdog app today. Sign up now using promo code KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus credit when you make your first deposit. Join in on the fun when you sign up with promo code KYLEM. Claim your special offer today and get up to $1,000 in bonus credit instantly upon first deposit. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.npc. Nope. Visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24-7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. All right, more Kings coming up next. He's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader. Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Need to clarify something. We were talking at the break because Adam Schefter said on the Pat McAfee show that the 49ers would listen to offers on Brandon Ayuk if someone wants to take on his contract and all this stuff. And we're having the discussion about what that means. And I'd say we do this every offseason where the 49ers are open to dealing player X. It's like, yeah, for sure. Brandon Ayuk is not worth a lot right now. He's on a, now because of his injuries, on a rough contract.
Yep.
His production before he got hurt was not trending the right way. And so my guess is when there's reports that like teams are making calls about Brandon Ayuk, they're going, hey, here's an opportunity to get a guy who last time he was fully healthy was an all-pro, and maybe we can get him for like a sixth. The 49ers are going, hey, if somebody wants to call and offer us the moon for him and someone wants to say, yeah, hey, here's a first, then they would take it.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's going to call and offer that right now because the teams calling are trying to get him for nothing.
Yeah.
The 49ers are taking those calls going, yeah, if we can fleece you for a first, we will. I don't think those two things are ever going to line up. And ergo, I think Brandon Ayuk is going to be on the Niners roster in September.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance of that.
He's also hurt. Like, yeah. Severely.
When is he back? We don't even know yet, right?
No timeline.
They haven't had that surgery. I mean, that the test where they see the recovery of the knee.
They might have. There's just been nothing. We don't know yet. So that's what I'm saying. You're going to see all these reports. I think the Niners have a price in mind. I don't think anyone is going to come close to that price. That's all. Anyways, you want to get to six quick thoughts from last night?
Sure.
Okay, let me hit the button.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
Yeah, here they are, James Hamm with his six quick thoughts on last night's blowout win for the Kings, 122-98. Your final, James Hamm, go ahead, number one.
Yeah, I said this earlier. I didn't hear the ding. There it is. I can't quit on Keegan's potential. He had 18 points on 4 of 8 from three. He had 5 boards. He had 3 assists. To me, he's developing in a different way. He's not developing at the pace that some of us would like. There are reasons for that. There's also, you know, shared responsibility with everybody involved here.
Mm-hmm.
But he did that 18 points and 5 rebounds in just 25 minutes of action. Like, he is trending the right way out of nowhere. And he's shooting over 40% from three over, I don't know what this stretch is, but it's something like 10 or 11 games. And that's great.
I'm not saying anything. Not even going to. Nope. I'm not saying, because every time I get excited about Keegan, we get a 1 for 7 with 5 points night. So I'm not excited.
It's not even the 1 for 7.
I hope he keeps doing this. But I'm not going to get excited yet.
It's the 3 for 7s that are frustrating. It's the 7 that matters. It's not the 1 or the 2 or the 5. It's the 7 that's always the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to see those shot attempts get up much higher than they are right now.
Yep, no doubt. Number two.
The combo of Zach LaVine and Jonas Valanciunas is really, really intriguing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I watch Jonas stand like around the elbow and Zach LaVine just like float around him until everyone got like trapped in Jonas's like web of, yeah. of screen. Mm-hmm. And then he just ran right around him and laid the ball up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's what, that's where Zach LaVine is at his best.
Mm-hmm.
And so there needs to be a pairing here between Domas and Zach LaVine once, you know, Domas is healthy, but also this summer. Mm-hmm. Like, they need to get on the court together and they need to work out a bunch of this stuff, because what I saw there was a conventional big man that LaVine is used to playing with, the style of player he's used to playing mm-hmm. with, like Vucevic,
mm-hmm.
and Zach using the screen the way that he likes to use a screen. And I thought it was like a very, very, like, stood out right away in the game. Like, ooh, mm-hmm. that's going to work. And so, good stuff.
I have so many thoughts on that I'm going to save. Number three.
DeMar DeRozan had a takeover moment. He ends up with 20 points on 8 of 15 shooting. But he decided he was just going to be the point guard
mm-hmm.
and just bring the ball up. And I'm like, hey, look at that. He's just, like, taking over. And then he just kept calling his own number.
Real quick.
Yep.
You said DeMar DeRozan did what?
He had a takeover moment.
No, I know. And then he did what? What did you say he did on the court?
He decided to be the point guard.
Hmm. That's interesting. Go on.
All right. Now.
No, I just think it's interesting.
He called his own number every single time.
That's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. Well, it's fine because when he gets in a specific groove, he doesn't miss. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, that worked. Oh, yep. Yeah, I don't know that was going to work, but that worked. Mm-hmm. He did a couple of spin moves. He got to the free throw line. You're like, oh.
Okay. Hey, that layup he missed might have been the coolest missed layup of the year. The full 360 and then just left it short. Oh, that was tough.
Yeah, it was like, hey, this is intriguing. I don't know that I want to go to this all the time.
Yeah.
But like for stretches when Monk is off the court mm-hmm. and Domantas Sabonis is off the court, okay. Mm-hmm. I almost feel more comfortable with him in that situation than I do with LaVine.
Sure.
And the way that I've looked at LaVine is, man, if you can just get him in a scoring mode, forget the passing stuff. Like, he'll get 2, 3, 4 assists in a game mm-hmm. just because he can get to certain spots on the floor and people are open. I just want him to be a pure scorer. When it comes to DeRozan, like, he just has a way to get wherever he wants on the court, and mm-hmm. you need that for certain moments of the game where you can just kind of maintain with a lesser group on the court.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, you can't. He helps you avoid stretches where you're scoreless for 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is how bad teams like that version of Dallas hang around. The thing that I really enjoy the most about watching DeMar DeRozan is he has like 3 spots, right?
Yeah.
And it's like he attacks those spots relentlessly until he gets a matchup he likes. And you see when he gets the matchup he likes, because he'll go to it again and he'll get the switch he wants or whatever. And that person tries so hard. And you're like, baby, no.
And
this is tough.
And a lot of times he do a good job too. Yes. Except for they bite on the fake and they give him a little bump. He falls down.
Oh. Every time, dude.
Yeah.
It's like, get your hand out of there. You just keep vertical. He's going to, you just got to cross your fingers and hope he misses. But every time the person goes, yeah, he's been doing this for more than a decade in the league. I'm going to be the one that figures it out. Like, no, you're not. You're going to foul him. And he's getting an and-one.
I love it. I love that part of it.
That's how this is going to go, Doc.
Because you're like, oh, you did it. Like,
oh, no. Oh, you did a good job verticality. You got in his landing space every time.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It is. I feel so bad for those guys.
It's like clockwork.
Yeah.
And he's been really good from 3. I don't think he hit any last night. But and if he did, it was like 1 from the corner.
I feel like this is super anecdotal because I didn't watch a ton of DeMar DeRozan on a nightly basis prior to this. Never mind.
He's up to 35% from 3. And to be honest with you, it's at much higher volume than he's used to. Well, I guess it's 3 a game. But over his last, I don't know, it feels like month, he's shooting the lights out from 3.
He's in 55 games, he's made 57 3-pointers. That is his 4th most made threes in a season ever.
Oh, wow.
89 was his peak in 2017-18. Then 75, that was last year actually. 64 in 2013-14. And this year he's up to 57.
That's crazy.
That's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
And a ton of threes.
No, I mean, he's adapted his game, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Number four.
Valanciunas post 14, 9, and 3 in limited minutes. Man, having a true backup center is incredible. And I know someone in the chat earlier said that I didn't want Valanciunas on this team. Like, that's crazy. To be honest with you, like, there's... I tried to explain that if you're going to go and bring in a backup center when you have a center who plays, you know, 36 minutes a night, mm-hmm. that there are bigger priorities than a backup center. But I've been complaining about the Kings not having a backup center for 3 years. Does anyone remember me talking about Mason Plumlee?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like...
I remember that actually vividly because I was watching... after they didn't acquire Mason Plumlee, I was watching D'Lo and KC, and you were super unhappy about it. And I remember being like, why is this guy so upset about Mason freaking Plumlee?
Because they keep running guys out there who don't play any style that's remotely close to Domas.
Right.
And so...
I believe your thing with Valanciunas was you're not going to give up a bunch of assets to get a guy who's going to play as little as he's likely going to play.
Well, yeah, that and like if you're looking at your payroll... Mm-hmm. And you're going to spend $10 million, the Kings realistically should have spent $10 million on a wing, not on a backup center that's going to play 12 to 15 minutes a night. Now, having Valanciunas is, I've said it the whole time, physicality. Nobody wants to go inside against Valanciunas. We know that because the Kings didn't want to go inside against him last year and went 0-6 against that team.
They sure did.
So, like, this is a player that, like, watching him and then... Actually, interacting with him, Brennan said this on the podcast the other day.
Brennan Nunes.
We had this moment where we all talked to Valanciunas after a game. We walked away, let him finish up in his locker, and we went and stood by the table in the middle of the room. Valanciunas came over and said goodnight to each one of us individually and dabbed us up. Like, he's a good dude, mm-hmm. and he gets it. And he's there to be part of what's happening. And so, like, I don't have any problems with Valanciunas, but watching him on the court, like, he's just been a beast for the Kings. And that's exactly what you thought he would be, but he's been better. You know, when you have a player in your building and you get to watch him every night, you have a new appreciation for him.
It also, and we talked about this yesterday, but it insulated them from this.
Of course. Yeah.
Can you imagine if they had Alex Len and Trey Lyles playing center right now? That's tough.
I said this when they acquired him. Everyone's like, hey, you know, it's like, oh, he's not going to play that much. And I kept saying the same thing. But the fact is that Domas can get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that Domas played, you know, 82 games last year and 79 the year before, mm-hmm. but he played one of those seasons with a broken bone in his thumb the entire season. He easily could have shut it down. The fact that you now have a reasonable center that can step in that is better than probably half of the starting centers in the NBA. And you have him as your backup is a great mm-hmm. thing. Now, no you doubt. Can't play these guys together a ton, but, you know, this is why you needed him.
Mm-hmm. Number five? Five?
Yeah, number five. We had a scary moment. Kyrie went down, which, of course, ends up being catastrophic. Kyrie Irving, we now know, tore his ACL last night. That's exactly when the replay hit. It was like, oh, no.
Yeah,
that was clear as day that it was either a massive hyperextension and he got lucky, or it was torn.
Yeah, you're crossing your fingers. But the way he went down, too, the way it happened and then the way he went down, that wasn't a normal, like, oh, that just hurts a little. He knew.
Oh, yeah. He just laid there and was like, oh, man. Yeah. Like, look, you can love Kyrie or hate Kyrie as, like, a basketball player or whatever, or his off-the-court antic stuff,
mm-hmm.
but you don't want to ever see that. Like, being in the building when Kevin Durant popped his Achilles or when Rudy Gay popped his Achilles, it's the worst, man. Like, watching a player who has worked so hard and then they're just, you know, they're laying there on the ground and everyone in the building is quiet. It's just the worst.
Especially in the context of the 24-25 Mavericks.
Yeah. Adding to that, Malik Monk dove for a ball and got hurt as well. I guess he got his foot stepped on. I'm not sure. I didn't get to see
Biederman reported.
Yeah, I didn't get to see the replay
Chris
on it.
Biederman of the Sacramento Bee.
Yeah. He came back and 13 points, 8 assists. And then again, Jaden Hardy. So, like, it was a scary moment night, all within, like, a 5-minute window where a bunch of players went down injured. And that's not great.
Yeah, man. The Malik one when he just started going to the locker room late in the first quarter.
Oh, yeah.
When a player just bounces like that, that is never good.
Yeah.
And luckily, he turned out to be okay. And yeah, definitely feel for the Mavs. They're cooked.
They are cooked, but because their front office made decisions that cook them.
Yep.
It's brutal.
Number six.
We had a trade day. Trey Lyles had a really, really, really good game that I'm not sure people realize. He had 9 points. He had 9 rebounds. He had 6 assists. Mm. And, like, look, if you're going to lose Domas for any stretch of time, it can't just be all Valanciunas. Mm. You need different looks, and Trey can give you that. And I hope that this stretch of games here allows Trey to get back on track, because I think there's a possibility you're going to need him late in the season.
Yep.
And there's a possibility in the playoffs you could use him as well.
Yeah, man. He has been really ineffective this year.
Yeah.
Like,
the struggle is real.
To the point where he has been out of the rotation or had his minutes cut. So to see him in a spot where the Kings need him, to have him play 2 effective games in a row,
mm-hmm.
is a really, really good sign. Love to see that for him.
Yeah, me too.
We have a bonus one?
We do.
Quick thought? 7 quick thoughts?
Welcome back, Scal.
Oh.
Like, I mean, you never see this. A player who doesn't appear in an NBA game for 5 years gets a 10-day contract and makes a return. I just, like, super excited. He's one of the nicest human beings you're ever going to run into. His story is amazing. Mm-hmm. He's just a sweetheart of a guy. And for him to get back into the league, whether it's for 10 days or the rest of the season, yeah. or he finds himself somewhere else, he's only 28 years old. He's got plenty of basketball left in him. I'm really, really excited for Scal to see him. I did not know if he was active last night or not. Mm-hmm. He's hiding way on the end of the bench. But then he had his sweatbands on. He started, like, adjusting. I'm like, oh, is he coming in the game? Like, are you kidding me?
So Chris Biederman, who's on the road with the Kings right now for the Sacramento Bee, I texted him after you had said, hey, I don't know if Scal's in uniform or not, because this was third quarter when it was
out of control.
Out of hand.
Yeah.
Mavs aren't coming back. They're not going to make this a 14-point game where it's interesting. I know this game's over. And so I texted Chris and I said, hey, can you see if Scal's in uniform? And he just was like, I can't tell. Scal checks into the game, and about 10 seconds later, I get a text that says, yes. Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Biederman. Yeah, that's very Chris really Biederman nice. Of you.
Little scoreboard watching, because now we got a bunch of teams that we're paying attention to for the Kings. Potential big night for Sacramento while they travel to Denver. The two big ones. Golden State is at the New York Knicks for the second night of a road back-to-back.
Mm.
Big chance to gain a half game on the number 6 seed Warriors. Houston, the other team we've been talking about, who's currently in the 5 seed, that is now close enough where you're going, is that Houston up there? I'm pretty sure it's Houston. They're on the second night of a road back-to-back in Indiana.
Mm. Indiana's playing really well.
Pacers look good.
34 and 25.
The Knicks might score 150 points tonight. Whew. They're going to score a lot. So Golden State at New York, Houston at Indiana. Minnesota is at home against the Sixers. I think the Timberwolves are favored by 14.5.
Oh my gosh.
It is so many points.
Is Maxey not playing?
That has to be the case. I haven't taken a deep dive into the injury report.
But that's wild.
That has to be the case. And then the Clippers are at Phoenix. Can we get the Suns to pull their heads out one time?
One time.
One time, Suns.
Come on. That would be big.
It would. Oh, my God. It'd be.
Yeah, the Kings could easily move into the 6th spot tonight without playing. Easily move into.
Is that right?
Yeah, they could be tied for the 6th spot with the Warriors. If the Warriors
and they
lose.
Have the tiebreaker.
Yeah, they're up 2-1 at
but
this
point. But if the Clippers win, wouldn't the Clippers go to 6 and the Kings would go to 7?
Yeah, but if the Clippers and Warriors lose.
Yeah, then the Kings would be in the 6.
Yep.
Wow.
That's wild. Oh, and Steph Curry is questionable tonight with right ankle soreness.
Yeah, he rolled the heck out of it last night.
Kuminga's still out. Gary Payton is still out.
Gary Payton's out?
Yeah, Gary Payton is out with a nasal bone contusion. He bruised his nose? Intriguing. Wow, that's an interesting call.
Alrighty.
All right.
The Knicks might score 160.
Philadelphia. Oh my gosh.
Who's
Their entire roster's out tonight.
Okay.
Except, oh no, Maxey's out. McCain's out.
Paul
Lowry's out. Paul George is questionable.
Okay.
Joel Embiid is out. Eric Gordon is out. Quentin Grimes is questionable. Justin Edwards, whoever that is questionable. Kelly Oubre is probable. Gershon Ubicelli, of course, he's available.
Oh, okay, good.
So you're saying there's a chance.
That line, by the way, has now moved to 15.5, according to Ben. really good chance for the Warriors and Rockets to lose tonight. Need the Suns to pull their heads out one time against the Clippers.
That's right.
It is in Phoenix, so maybe. All right. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. The handoff with, I believe, Damian Barling. He looks dashing today in his cardigan. That's coming up next. Here on the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
And Kyle Madsen, James Hamm, Joe Brazil, pressing buttons, and Damian Barling is here.
Joe doing a lot more than pressing buttons, man.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's D-Lo, Damian Barling.
Oh, I forgot that was the thing.
It's just kind of a bit now.
No, I got it.
Okay, fine. You know what? You're right. Joe does do a lot more than touch buttons. Let me redo this.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, I'm Kyle Madsen. He's James Hamm. Joe Brazil is pushing buttons and making sure the spots run correctly. He's recording the show. He's going to upload the podcast, and he's going to cut some video for us as well. Now it's awesome. Time for the handoff with Damian Barling.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's D-Lo, Damian Barling.
He's also eye candy. Like, look at that guy.
Look at him go.
He's a good-looking
guy.
Did you
know he dyed his hair purple for the Kings last...
Shaved and everything.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Hey, look at him.
Collared shirt today?
Yeah, I dressed up nice today. I appreciate it. Thank you.
This is great.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah,
good.
Yeah, the purple hair is going to come back. Don't worry.
Yeah, he's purple hair for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's do it.
Let's do it.
You want to...
No. I meant let's do it for Joe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not me. That's not what I do. If I dye my hair purple, I just...
Nope.
I might never come back.
No, nope.
could lose it all. Like, I don't think they have a hairline touch up that's in purple. We're just not gonna do that, man. We're not gonna do that.
Yeah, I would worry it wouldn't come out of all the white hairs that I have hiding at this point.
Yeah.
No, nope, not having it.
Am I wrong to be optimistic about the Kings right now?
No, I don't think any feeling about the Sacramento Kings is wrong. Whether it's optimistic, whether it's skeptic, whether it's I don't think there's certainly no reason to be down on them, but
skepticism is, I think, a better word. I've been saying pessimistic,
mm-hmm.
but I think skeptic is a much better word.
Pessimistic means you're leaning negative, right?
Yeah. It means like I am thumbs down.
Yeah. So,
whereas skeptic is more like, I just got to see it.
Yeah. This is good. This is, you know, certainly what you like last night's win was tough, you know, that game, I think, was really, you know, salute to the Kings, you know, for getting the job done. This is not, you know, this conversation is not our job. That game was about Dallas.
Yeah.
The Kyrie Irving, like, I got emotional watching that video back this morning. We saw that injury live, and I was just like, I felt for him shooting those two free throws. I was like, I really hope that's not what it looked like, and it turned out that it is. And, you know, he was having such a great season, but it's also like that team is physically done. That team is mentally done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't imagine how they survive. Now, you have Phoenix that's in a different type of situation than Dallas. So that really might be what you're talking about. And I don't know if Portland is talented enough to pass both of those teams. But, you know, Sacramento might have put the nail in the coffin of of the Dallas Mavericks last night.
I agree.
So again, you know, salute to Sacramento, and our job is to discuss the Kings, and you know, that's certainly what we'll do. But that game was about Dallas and how, you know, their season might be over, and you know, how they're looking at a complete franchise reboot here. moving forward with this injury to Kyrie Irving and everything that's happened to them this year. But the Kings took advantage, and that's what, you know, James and I and Casey talked about yesterday. It's what Casey and I talked about on Sports Sunday with Brendan Benitez. It's can you take advantage of these teams that might be struggling a little bit, that might be reeling a little bit? And that's exactly what they did last night. You know, they're going to be playing some teams that aren't reeling and aren't struggling and are very, very good coming up here on the schedule. I'm not even sure that that starts tomorrow, to be honest with you. I do think Denver is good, but I also think they have their own kind of thing that they're navigating. They might even have an identity crisis right now in terms of trying to make sense of that win streak that they went on and kind of putting that up against, like, good teams.
Mm-hmm.
They beat a lot of bad teams. Again, that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
But it's still a question of, like, how good is Denver? And sure. So this is a big-time matchup, again, for the Kings tomorrow, as it feels like all of them are going to be moving forward. But being skeptic, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Being optimistic, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you're taking a pessimistic view, I just don't think there's anything the Kings can do that you're going to like.
Yeah.
I mean, the team has won 4 in a row. I think they've won... is it 7 of 9?
Yeah, 7 of 9.
Yeah, like that's a good clip. Like that's mm-hmm. that's really good. I know the Warriors loss really sucked. Mm-hmm. I know the Pelicans loss was infuriating, but you know, in the bird's eye view of it, it's 7-2 in the last 9.
Those are looking more like hiccups than trends. And that was
the Warriors game. It
felt like a trend. Like, oh no, they're going the wrong way.
Well, the Pelicans game was frustrating because that's a bad basketball team. It's right mm-hmm. before the All-Star break. You don't want your last, you know, your last view of something is never as good or as bad
sure.
as what you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And because it went negative for the Sacramento Kings, it was bad. We just felt that it was awful. But you follow that up with just that awful performance to Golden State. Like, if Steph had hit a 3 and you lose by 2 or 1,
mm-hmm.
it's Steph. Like, that's life playing the Golden State Warriors.
Sure.
You got your ass kicked, and you got your ass kicked at home. Like Malik said it, we got punked on our home floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think was the most difficult thing for Kings fans to digest, because it was like, oh, this Pelicans loss sucks. You know, Zach LaVine shot well. We couldn't even get a win. Like, damn it. And then you manage to come out, you play what looks to be a really good Warriors team, and you just get killed. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, I don't know what to do with any of this.
Yeah.
Called that starters only meeting or whatever we mm-hmm. frame it as, and they haven't missed since. They appear to be playing, James, you tell me, a completely different style of basketball since that meeting.
Oh no, I totally agree. Yep. They're being much they're more willing to share the ball. I think it's okay to be like optimistic about what's happening right now, realistic about what the rest of the season looks like, and even pessimistic about what the future can be, you know, moving forward with this group. At the end of the day, I try to be as realistic as possible for people, and some people take it as like negativity.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, like, I'm not going to spoon feed you a bunch of, you know, just crap. Like, there are like real life situations here with this team that don't function well and that are going to be problems like moving forward.
Yeah.
Now we can live in the moment and be excited about what's happening, what's going on right now, which I think is what everyone should be.
That's where I'm like, at.
You keep plugging away, you keep winning. And then you can be realistic about the strength of schedule and everything else, but strength of schedule doesn't always matter.
Sometimes, no, it doesn't. Not at all.
Like, yeah, that's sometimes why I don't... you catch a team like Boston and mm-hmm. they sit two guys and you're like, okay, we got this. Yeah. So,
or you have a team that just maybe isn't playing well, you know,
you have a
team with a good record who is coming into the Golden 1 Center, but they're not playing well. So the game feels different. It measures different. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be, you know, because I felt like, and I don't even know why this was happening. We kept having this discussion. I think it was because they played Charlotte and Utah. You know, Casey kept, would you rather be Charlotte? Would you rather be Utah? Like, I don't.
Ew.
Care like that doesn't have anything to do with like right now. I think the Kings can make the playoffs this year.
Mm-hmm.
It might take a little maneuver, you know, like next year and beyond in the future of this team. That can be a conversation for later. And like James, like you said, you could feel however you want to about that. I don't need to feel that way today.
No,
like the Sacramento Kings have won 4 straight. The conference is wide open. I thought 6 was completely unattainable for them. And now just because the way that the conference is, it very much is attainable for them.
It's so funny because of the West. I was with you 2 weeks ago. It felt like, hey, forget the six seed. Can you make sure you're 10?
Oh, yeah.
Can you make sure to get to 10?
Mm-hmm.
And a four-game winning streak later, we're like, I don't know why they can't get to five.
Well, it's not just that, though.
Like, Houston's like, whoa.
It's not just that, though. It's not just the four-game winning streak. It's that, you know, Minnesota lost to Utah.
Right, right. That's
State lost to Philadelphia. Like, yeah. You talk about strength of schedules.
Mm-hmm.
Those games, the Kings lose to the Pelicans. Like, those games happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when you look at schedules and try to prognosticate and all these different things, it's like, there's no, we're exhausting ourselves with this mental exercise that there's no need to do. It's the same thing of trying to determine Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Domantas Sabonis, their mm-hmm. future with the game. I don't care. Can you get to six? Great. If you get to six, dear God, what a season this has been. Build a statue for Doug Christie. Hell, maybe even the front office stays. If Domas is really out for, well, okay, we don't have to get carried away. If Domas is out for, you know, another week and some change, and they manage to continue to win games with Jonas Valanciunas, the front office deserves a lot of credit for that. That's a player Kings fans have desperately wanted now for a couple of years, and they wanted it more as a depth position to Domantas Sabonis when he's off the floor, like in game scenarios. Now he's off the floor, and you realize how impactful he can be. And I think the matchup tomorrow is going to be. It's going to be really interesting to watch. Valanciunas is a really big dude who I think can create different challenges for Nikola Jokic than Domantas Sabonis can.
What do you guys got coming up on D'Lo and KC?
Probably a lot of this.
Great.
You know, going to show a lot of love to Kyrie Irving, Trista Crick at 2 o'clock, Jason Jones, final hour of the show. Cooper Flagg played his last game at Duke last night. We'll talk about that. Tournament's not that far away. Lots happening.
Excellent. Can't wait. For James Hamm and Joe Brazil, I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out today on the radio, everybody listening on the podcast at the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show. If you're not subscribed, please do so. If you're watching on YouTube right now, please subscribe. Hit the thumbs up. We would appreciate that a ton, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.